I want to talk about a very unlikely topic for Hanukkah, which is the topic of Bein Adam L'Chavero, interpersonal relationships, and how that would relate to Hanukkah itself. This is new ground for me, and I suspect for you. So I'm asking you to listen to this with an open mind, without any preconceived notions. But I think by the end of my presentation of my case, you will agree that there's something going on in Hanukkah. Again, the context of this whole discussion that we're having in these six sessions is to make Hanukkah a Yom Tov that actually affects me, so that I don't just do the right thing on Hanukkah, namely light the menorah at the right time, in the right order, with the right brachas, saying Haneris Halalu after the first candle but not before the other two, saying Hallel in the morning, and then running through an entire day with nothing to do other than say Al Hanisim during benching, but rather to do all the mitzvahs of Hanukkah properly and to absorb from Hanukkah the way of relating to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is the strength that made Hanukkah happen in the first place. In other words, how can we have Hanukkah be a Yom Tov where we leave Hanukkah a different Jew than we were before, so that when Hanukkah is over, we feel like we actually used these 192 hours to change our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu in some way. Because that's really what the goal of any Yom Tov is. And particularly Hanukkah and Purim, believe it or not, these are aids that the sages created in order to get a Jew and the Jewish people as a whole through exile. In other words, the sages saw in their infinite wisdom, B'nei Vina, Yimei Shmona Kavushu Ronanim, the people of wisdom, of insight, established the 8 days of Hanukkah, because they knew that that's what had to happen in order for us to be able to continue on through Galus Yavan, through the exile of Yavan. So if that's true, they certainly didn't think that just by lighting a menorah once a night and by saying Hallel for 7 minutes in the morning, that that's going to keep us going through Galus. Obviously, they mean a whole way of being, a whole metzias, a whole attitude, a whole relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu that's going to be guided by lighting the menorah and guided by saying Hallel. So we spoke about, number one, the preparation for Hanukkah and creating a whole context of Hanukkah, and we spoke on Shabbos about developing an attitude of Hallel v'Hada in our behavior and how we can practice that in our behavior. So tonight I want to talk, it's kind of an extension of that conversation, but it's a very focused extension. I want to talk about how Bein Adam L'Chavero, the relationship that we have with other Jews, is actually a function of Hanukkah. And here are the clues. Here are the clues so we know that something's going on. First of all, who is the group through whom the miracle of Hanukkah happened? The Maccabees and the Chashmonaim. The Chashmonaim are Kohanim, the Shevet of Kohanim. The Kohanim are the connectors between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael, right? Shluchu D'Rachmana, Shluchu D'Yisrael. The Kohanim are the emissaries who kind of mediate between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael. But also, they are the descendants of Aharon HaKohen, who is the Ohev Shalom, Rodev Shalom, Ohev Esabrius, and Mekavan LaTorah. So Aharon HaKohen is the pursuer of peace. And it's no coincidence that he's the Kohen, because somebody who has this relationship, who is committed to this relationship of shalom, of wholesomeness of Klal Yisrael, he's the one who can bring us closer to Avodah Shavah Shemayim. But we know from the Medrash that Aharon HaKohen is given during the Chanukah HaMizbeach, during the dedication of the Mizbeach in the Mishkan. So every day for 12 days from Rosh Chodesh Nisan until the 12th of Nisan, one tribe brings a korban to dedicate the Mizbeach. That means that every tribe had a unique relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu through the altar, through the Mizbeach in the Mishkan, and therefore every single tribe had to bring their own special korban. And then Aharon HaKohen, the Shevet Levi, doesn't bring carbon, and Aharon, according to the Medrash, despairs. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, okay, Bahalos Chos HaNeros, that's what follows right after that, Bahalos Chos HaNeros, Amos Pneum Neroy Yerush Shavas HaNeros. So Aharon is given the mitzvah of kindling the menorah in the Mishkan, and says the Medrash in the famous language, Shalcha Gadol Mishalahem. Your mitzvah is greater than theirs. So we're going to leave it for some other forum to explain why it is that the menorah is bigger than the Mizbeach. That's a worthy question, and there's a lot of ways we can go with that, but that's not the purpose of this discussion. The purpose of this discussion is really to get very practical. So, but the point is, right away we have that Aharon HaKohen is this key figure in the lighting of the menorah. And the Ramban explains that the reason it's Gadol Mishalahem, the reason it's so great, is because even when the Beis HaMikdash is destroyed and there's no Mizbeach anymore, but there'll still be a menorah. What menorah? The menorah of Hanukkah. So the menorah that we're lighting on Hanukkah is somehow, conceptually, spiritually, the light that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us first through the menorah in the Beis HaMikdash, and it doesn't get extinguished when the Beis HaMikdash is destroyed. It's an amazing concept. So Aharon HaKohen has that. So there, again, here we have Aharon at the center.
You're implying an answer to your question.
Yeah, I am a little bit, but I'm just saying that we just see again, Kahuna is at the center of the story of the menorah. That's all. I'm just trying to establish that linkage. Right. Okay. So it can't be that we're only focusing on the Avodas Hashem of the Kohen, and the whole personality of the Kohen, and his and the distinction Kohen as the Ohev, as the one who connects to other people, can't be that that part is not significant. It just seems to be that way. It's a hunch. So then we have an interesting halacha, a fascinating halacha. Suppose a person is so impoverished that he can't afford candles for Shabbos and candles for Hanukkah. So what should he do? So without the Shulchan Aruch, we would say, okay, listen, candles for Shabbos, candles for Hanukkah, okay, Shabbos comes every week, and the candles of Shabbos are for Shalom Bayis. The whole point of candles is Shalom Bayis. Meanwhile, the candles of the menorah, that's the Beis HaMikdash, that's the Kedusha, the unbelievable, the hidden light of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the wisdom of the Torah, it's once a year, so on and so forth. So a guy would say, I've got a couple shekel and I have to spend it on one or the other. And by the way, we're talking about one candle, we're not talking about eight, because the minimum, we're talking about the minimum mitzvah. So I'm going to spend a couple shekels either on the Shabbos candles or on the menorah. Obviously, I'll spend it on the menorah. So the Shulchan Aruch comes along and says, no, you spend it on Neros Shabbos. That if you have a choice of Hanukkah or Shabbos, you spend it on the Shabbos. Why? Because Shalom Bayis is greater, right? So, again, I'm going to wager, I can't prove this, but I'm going to wager that the Gemara is not just saying that Shalom Bayis is very important and therefore throw away Hanukkah, right? What I'm saying, it's part and parcel of Hanukkah. Shalom Bayis, meaning more than just not arguing with one's wife, but having a productive, harmonious home environment, which is elevating and which brings the light of Shabbos, the holiness of Shabbos, to the Bnei Bayis. That's the whole point of lighting the candles on Shabbos night. So if the Torah, if Chazal say that Shalom Bayis is greater, we would assume that that is part of the message of Hanukkah itself. And we suspect that it is because we have other indications. Again, I'm just trying to lay the groundwork so we can know we're walking on fertile ground and on ground that's not arbitrary, which is that the menorah is ner ish ubeso. The way Chazal even say it, or the way Chazal define the mitzvah of Hanukkah, is ner ish ubeso, not ner ish umishpachto or whatever it is. You could say that's the language of Chazal. But the fact is, ner ish ubeso, ner for a person and his household. So there's this idea of ubeso, that the whole bias is, so to speak, covered by the thing. And also the idea that ideally the menorah is placed al pesach beso, on the entrance of his house. So there's something about, you know, gaining access to the house itself, because it's right there with the mezuzah. Right there, the mezuzah is on the right side, the menorah is on the left. Right, right. And there's some one text that has the balabayas in the talis standing in the middle. But the point is that the menorah is right there at the opening of the house. So again, we see something with the house. The household is important. Then I'll take it a step further. Bizman hazeh, we for sure have to understand that Hanukkah has a message for the household itself, because bizman hazeh, the Rishonim say that the main pesukim in Nisa is for anshei beiso, is for people inside the house. whereas it used to be that the main mitzvah Pirsumei Nisa was klape chutz, to project the message of the menorah outside into the street. But now, Chazal say that nowadays, it's the main Pirsumei Nisa for inside. So on a technical level, we understand that that means that it's dangerous to put the menorah out there. Not all political climates are safe for the menorah, and therefore the nature of the takana of Chazal shifts, and now the Pirsumei Nisa is mostly going to be focused on the household. That's a technical way of understanding it. But again, we never separate the conceptual from the technical. And if that's true, it's probably safe to say that in the developing story of our Golos, the message of the menorah has to be more focused than ever, Bizman Hazeh, on the Bnei HaBayis. So there's this radiance of the lights of the menorah to the Bnei HaBayis, and therefore the Pirsumei Nisa is focused on them. So all I'm saying is I'm trying to establish two things. I'm trying to establish, number one, is that we suspect that there's going to be some nature, some message on Hanukkah that would affect our interpersonal relationships, and specifically relationships that we have with members of our family and our household. So I want to suggest the following, that it all relates to the concept of Hanukkah as being a Yom Tov of Torah Sheba'al Peh. That Hanukkah is a Yom Tov in which we celebrate the power of oral law. Let me see how we can say this in as brief amount of time as possible. The address of the essence of Hanukkah is pointed out by the divine miracle of the menorah. The fact that the oil only could have lasted one day and it lasts 8 days, immediately from that miracle we have HaKadosh Baruch Hu telegraphing, you want to know the nature of this miracle, of this victory, you want to know what it's all about, look at the menorah. The menorah is the address, that's the central point. So what's the menorah? The menorah is always the symbol for the chachma of the Torah, for the wisdom of the Torah, for the light of the Torah, Torah, Orah, right? So immediately HaKadosh Baruch Hu has said, the chachma of the Torah is what's going on over here. That's where we get the notion of the nitzachon over Greece was the stand that Klal Yisrael took for the superiority of the wisdom of the Torah over the enticing and intoxicating wisdom of human reason that personified Greek philosophy and Greek thought and Greek approach to everything, science and so on and so forth. So number one is we have that dimension of Torah Sheba'al Peh. But let's talk a little bit more about what Torah Sheba'al Peh is. Torah Sheba'al Peh is more than just we have memorized Torah that's handed down from one person to another and it's not written down. It's much more than that. Torah Sheba'al Peh is that dimension of Torah which creates an ongoing and personal relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The whole point of Torah Sheba'al Peh is that there are no words. Torah Sheba'al Peh is not measurable by words. Torah Sheba'al Sav is the book of Bereishis, and this is exactly what Bereishis is. It starts here and it goes to here, and there's this many words, this many sentences, this many paragraphs, this many letters, and that's it. You want to know Bereishis? Read these words, and this is only what Bereishis is. It is not more and it's not less. There is nothing else to Torah Sheba'al Sav other than these exact words, and that's it. And you can know it all, and you can know it by knowing words. Torah Sheba'al Peh is absolutely not that. Torah Sheba'al Peh is that there are no words. Whatever words work for you to know the concept, those are the words. But it's not the words, it's the concept. Does that mean that it's not there's no truth to Torah Sheba'al Peh? God forbid. Torah Sheba'al Peh is 100% true, but it is not defined in quantitative, measurable form. It's the concepts. It's the rules. And therefore, Torah Sheba'al Peh immediately moves out of the realm of the fixed into the realm of the applicable. The point of the Torah Sheba'al Peh is that which gives the Torah life, that which makes the Torah applicable to any situation, including one that the Torah itself didn't describe, because it's a rule, it's a principle that you have to use your relationship to the Torah to apply it and to reason and so on and so forth. And you have to do that after having absorbed the wisdom of the Torah itself. There is to a significant degree, a form of ongoing revelation, ongoing connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu when we relate to Torah with the Torah Sheba'al Peh dimension. The dimension of Torah Sheba'al Peh is what allows the Torah to continue to be a living relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the way that we're going to acquire Torah Sheba'al Peh is by having HaKadosh Baruch Hu take his divine wisdom and place it in our heads, right? That's what's going to happen. There's no place where you can go and just read the words. Torah Sheba'al Peh is not that way. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the words in ink. And you want to get it, you open the book. And you don't, I'm going to say this, it's scary to put it on the tape. You don't need God for Torah Sheba'al Peh. Do not need him at all. He gave it to us, and he went away, and he is not touching Torah Sheba'al Peh in the Seder. Okay, now take my hand off the tape recorder. But you can't deal with Torah and with the message of HaKadosh Baruch Hu without HaKadosh Baruch Hu now, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the only one who's going to provide you with the capacity to absorb divine wisdom as expressed in Torah Sheba'al Peh. And there is no place you can go to get it, not even the Schottenstein Talmud, because the Schottenstein Talmud is only their best effort at expressing certain concepts which to somebody else could be expressed in a different way, and so on and so forth. So Torah Sheba'al Peh is an ongoing living relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. To put it another way, it's really, we could say, it wouldn't be a stretch to take that concept and say that it's a modern expression of Nevuah. I'm saying this all for a reason, because we have to understand that what is the capacity that allows us to be in an ongoing dialogue with HaKadosh Baruch Hu? What is that capacity? So that's where the relationship of the guf to the neshama is the relationship of Torah Sheba'al Peh to Torah Sheba'al Peh, right? To use a Miller's analogy, the guf is to the neshama as Torah Sheba'al Peh is to Torah Sheba'al Peh. So the guf is a physical entity, and it gives us the ability to move through the world. So that's that body itself. But what gives it life and what gives it ongoing energy is the neshama, the source of chiyus from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that vayipach ba'apav nishmas chayim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu blows into the lifeless body the nishmas chayim, and the neshama is what gives life. And it's the same with Torah Sheba'al Peh. The Torah Sheba'al Peh is what gives life to Torah Sheba'al Peh, so to speak. Right? The Torah Sheba'al Peh only says if a person digs a pit. That's all we know. We do not know what happens if a person leaves a bicycle in somebody else's driveway and he trips over it. We don't know, because the Torah just says pit. Torah Sheba'al Peh tells us how to figure that out, and so on and so forth. And gives us that, gives the applicability and the life to the Torah itself. The point is this: the ongoing dialogue that we have with the Kadosh Baruch Hu through Torah Sheba'al Peh is a function of the neshama. Now, here's the thing: when we relate to each other, there are really only two ways to relate to each other: by what we see, or by what we know is there beyond what we see. If we relate to each other by what we see, we're finished. We're finished, not because what we see is so bad, but it's very limited. And there's no potential there. There's only you. There's only you sitting in a chair, right? There's nothing else. The reason that I owe you respect, or the reason that I have responsibilities in my relationship to you, is because you are a reflection of the divine. This is v'yahavta l'reacha. I mean, we can go so many different ways in this. We could say, you know, like Rashi and Shabbos, v'yahavta l'reacha kamocha. The reason that is the yisod of all of Torah is because you shall love your friend like you love yourself, and that's the neshama itself, and that Kadosh Baruch Hu is the source of that person just like he's the source of you. So the point is, our relationship with each other is defined by our awareness of the other person as a neshama. So, to the degree that a person is machshiv Torah Sheba'al Peh, to the degree that a person values oral law as an ongoing, life-giving, divine emanation that continues to imbue him with divine insight into how to understand the Torah, and is in an ongoing, living, breathing relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu through Torah Sheba'al Peh, to that degree, he will actually understand that it's his neshama that is his essence. Whenever we relate to ourselves as a neshama, we will relate to each other as a neshama. Whenever we relate to ourselves as this body that has wants and has ego needs and has covet needs and has sensual needs and so on and so forth, we will relate to the other that way too. And by the way, when we relate to the other that way, the other one will by definition be competition for me, because there is just so much cake in the world, and if you eat it, I have less of it. The point is that as soon as I see myself as a, and relate to myself instinctively as a physical being, I'm relating to you as a physical being, and you are in the way. That's just, it's just inevitable. And the moment that I see myself as a spiritual being, and I'm there in this relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu that way, so then I see you as a spiritual human being as well. It's impossible to see myself in a ruchnistic way and not see you that way. It's impossible. Because the second, because why am I relating to myself that way? Because I know something about the nature of Tzelem Elokim that I can't see with my eyes. And as soon as I'm living in that realm, that's how I see every human being. It's impossible to bifurcate and see myself that way and not you that way. That's why if I see you as a physical being, it is demeaning to me. I am demeaning myself. That's the whole relationship of Ruchnius to Gashmius and the way we live. Therefore, on Hanukkah, in the same way that we want to breathe life, so to speak, into our relationship with the Kodesh Baruch Hu through Torah Shabbat Peh, we want to breathe life into our relationship with ourselves and each other as a neshama. It's all the same thing. The neshama is the only thing that makes the Torah Shabbat Peh possible. So practically speaking, we can actually live the Torah Shabbat Peh nature of Hanukkah in a variety of ways. First of all, one way is find somebody in your world and value that being for the neshama that he or she is. Like, really, find somebody in your world and actually, on Hanukkah, in honor of Hanukkah, value that person to yourself, and even find a way to value that person to them, where you actually show them support for what they stand for what they care for what they're devoted to, for their davening, for their tefillah, for their chesed, for their faith in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, for their trust, for their honesty, for the humility, for amida, whatever it is. Find somebody and just value that, and because that will be you relating to the neshama. It's not you being a good guy, it's you relating to them as a neshama. And at that moment, you'll be relating to yourself as a neshama. And at that moment, you'll all of a sudden, your relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be an entirely different world. And that's what Torah Shabbat Peh really is. We have a serious mistake in calling and relating to Torah Shabbat Peh as a form of intellectual study. That's the least thing that Torah Shabbat Peh is. The most thing that Torah Shabbat Peh is relating to HaKadosh Baruch Hu as the one who is a Nosein HaTorah and is talking to my essence, to my neshama, because I'm here designed to reflect the aura of the Torah, and that's why he gave me a Torah Shabbat Peh, not just Torah Shabbat Sab. That's why he chose to put the Torah in that form. So that's what Hanukkah is all about. Hanukkah is really about honoring ourselves as the reflectors of the light of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that is done exclusively and specifically through the Torah itself. And by definition, we're going to be therefore relating to each other as neshamas. So I'm saying, practically speaking, the only way we can ever do, thinking things doesn't work. Thinking concepts doesn't work. The only thing we can do is take action in the world that we're in that actually reflects the reality of the thought. The best way that I know to do that is to relate to another person as a neshama. So find another person, discover their neshama, honor it, support it, and so on and so forth. Another thing in honor of Hanukkah would be that find another person with whom you have an absolutely impossible relationship, where you know that they are worthless. You know that they are absolutely have no real right to exist. And you know that as long as they don't change, they shouldn't be part of your life. They absolutely shouldn't, because they are wrong, right? Period. Find that person and begin to repair the relationship with that person, all in the guise of honoring that person as a neshama. Because specifically where you see that person is not a neshama, that's where the avodah really will be very fruitful, to start seeing that person as a neshama. Neshama is an unlimited potential. Neshama is a reflection of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, right? The divine. So we can't have those two thoughts in our heads at the same time. In terms of the Shalom bias that we mentioned before, a couple people came late. We were just talking about the fact that the Ner Shabbos trumps Ner Hanukkah. If a person has to make a choice, because Shalom bias comes before Hanukkah. So we were talking about how the bias and Hanukkah relate, and why it is that the bias is so important. So there also, you know, one of the classic pitfalls practically in family life is you want to light the menorah and they're not ready. And why do you want to light the menorah? Because you consider the menorah to be so important, right? It really is. And you don't want to trivialize the mitzvah. So you want to light it on time. So you come and, you know, and you got your jacket on, you got your hat on, you washed your hands, maybe you went to mikveh that day because you're really into Hanukkah and you really purified yourself, and then they're not ready, or she's not ready, or it's not ready, you know, whatever it is, and they're in the way. And so there, all of a sudden, Shalom Bayis falls a low, low second to the mitzvah of Ner Hanukkah. And so then when you finally get everybody together, you detest yourself because you've already ruined the atmosphere in the house. You're mad at your wife, or you're mad at your children, or you're mad at one of them, or you haven't, they haven't really done anything wrong, but their attitude isn't what you decided it should be based on your avoda, because you've been coming to these workshops, so you're so inspired. So therefore, they should be equally as inspired, and they should actually care about the menorah. And they don't. Look at them. They're sitting. They're not even singing. How could they not sing, right? So therefore, you're secretly, I'm just saying, this is what goes on, right? So therefore, the Shalom Bayis is gone. Shalom Bayis is gone, and exactly what Chazal say, the Shalom Bayis comes before the menorah. If you have to make a choice, we've made a choice, and we said the menorah is so important, the Shalom Bayis could go. So I'm just saying that what's the attitude? How does it work? The attitude is that you're responsible for yourself, and you want to show inspiration to others by being that yourself, right? By relating to the menorah in such a way that if they choose to emulate you, fine. If they don't, any way that they show up is fine. And then all of a sudden they'll feel connected to. The point is that we have to really practice, very, very difficult to practice religious standards and at the same time not go around making everybody feel like they're just not good enough and they're no good and they never will be. So I'm just, on a practical level, Shalom Bayis and Hanukkah sometimes don't seem to go together, but they could. It's only because we decided that things have to be a certain way, and they don't have to be a certain way. Now, I want to read you a section over here from this Sefer, which is a transcript of some of the talks that this sort of Tzvi Meyer gave in Eretz Yisrael. And here in the context of Hanukkah, and this is something we talked about this a little bit. What time is it? Just want to make sure we finish on time.
2 minutes.
Oy vey. Not going to. All right, fine.
Real quick.
Okay. So in the context of Hanukkah, he's talking about Taras HaPeh, which we talked about last time, about purifying the mouth. I just saw this today. It just blew my mind because I cannot believe that he says this. So he says, there are two ways to work on Taras HaPeh, and I'm not going to show you the first one. Aleph. The attempt to feel and see the positives of every Jew and of every community. The to know what the Besh told us, that we're, and the other tzaddikim also, I mean, chassidish greats, any chisern that we see on any other Jew, that means you have that problem, right? And he goes on, I'm skipping here. The reason I'm noticing that problem is because God is using that to arouse me to be aware that I have the chisarna myself. All right. So he says, in order to have the Kedusha of Hanukkah, a person has to be generous in the way that he looks at every Jew, and to find in every single Jew and every single community positives. And he goes on, this is all he's talking about Hanukkah. Yeah. And he says, one more thing. Af anashim shenirim b'chutz shtark untest. Even people who seem strong and solid, umedabrim k'mapshutim, yecholim levko rikim. These people could be actually breaking heavens. V'lo rak anashim shenirim tuklep. Not only broken people should we respect. Sometimes it's easy to value broken people. Even somebody who walks into Beis Medrash with a braid kite, a certain form of dominion, a certain form of strength, a certain form of confidence. He has great trials and tribulations. According to his own level, he's transcending them. And he's really shining in all the realms. Was that from Lasser Kaseder? We have to go over and over and say in our heads, Mirvest Mamish Garnish. We don't know what's going on with anybody else. Okay, Aval Yisodhu Emes. And he goes on, he's talking right here in Chanukah. I don't even know how he gets to it. But this is what I just saw before. So this is definitely an issue. They're about to light the menorah over there. So, Benon Chavero is very much an opportunity during this time. So I would say between now and Tuesday, just make an arbitrary time. Try to see who in your life you can value, what neshamas you can notice, where can you see a reflection of the light of a Kadosh Baruch Hu and the people around you, and relate to them that way. That would be an avoda that would help you be awake to the power of Chanukah. Okay.